But whatever you choose to be, cherub, make it count.
Chapter 20. It's late the next morning by the time I tumble out of Dez's bed. The fairy is reluctant to let me go, and I'm not complaining. A girl could get used to this kind of attention. I stretch as I pad over to the closet, feeling the bargainer's eyes on me the entire time. Creep, I say, not looking back.
I'd have to be dead to not enjoy your backside.
I suppress a smile, then begin rifling through the pretty dresses someone stocked an armoire full of. I'm not a girly girl by any means, but fey outfits are one exception I'll make. I grab a dress that looks like the dawn come to life, purples bleeding into pinks and oranges bleeding into yellows. I've no more than slipped it on when the dress slips itself off. Swiveling to Dez, I raise an eyebrow. Unless you want to break my vagina, I suggest you give it a rest. Relentless is a great way to describe the king of the night's sexual appetite. Not that I'm a slacker myself, but even I have my limits, especially when my siren decides to take the night off. Dez appears in front of me, turning my healed hands palms up. Are you going to read my fortune? I tease. He pretends to peer at them.
You find your soulmate young, there's love, and it looks like you have a handful of kids. They take after their father, unfortunately. Brats, the entire lot of them.
I laugh and pull my hands away.
Oh, and you live a long and happy life.
I don't say anything to that. There's so much uncertainty these days. I pick the dress back up.
You're not wearing that today.
Why not? The moment I ask it, my breath catches. I half expect battle leathers to come raining down from the sky and for Dez to announce that once again the two of us are training. Really freaking hate training.
I could tell you.
For a price. I groan. Dez, a pile of clothes does come raining down, but they're not battle leathers.
Or you could simply put the clothes on and deduce my plans like the good PI you are.
I pick up the folded clothing, recognizing a faded t-shirt that I own. There's a bra, panties, and jeans. A moment later, socks and white Converses join the pile. All mine, all unfit to wear in the other world. My gaze moves to Dez. What do you have planned for us?
Wrong question, cherub. It's not what I have planned, but where.
Oh my God. My grip tightens on the clothing. Where, Dez? Dez gives me a wry smile.
You know the answer to that question.
I suck in a breath. Home. Earth. Traveling on ley lines is no longer the confusing experience it used to be. Before, I couldn't make sense of these magical highways. My magic wasn't compatible with it. But now my power recognizes these strange roads that cross worlds. The magic is thick, pulling at me from all sides. It tries to drive me in its own direction, but Dez holds my hands and directs me forward, cutting through the ley line's bizarre compulsion as he leads us on. Around me I see landscapes fly by, hills, forests, deserts, oceans, ruins, all of it foreign and fey, until suddenly it isn't anymore. Gradually it changes to recognizable cities and landmarks. I see Nepal, then Cairo, Berlin, then, finally, Los Angeles. With a powerful tug, the bargainer leads us off the ley line. For a moment, I feel the magic resist, eager to keep us locked away on this odd highway, cursed to forever wander. But the moment passes, the magic gives, and suddenly we're in Dez's house, in the round room that contains the ley line portal. I take a shaky step forward, my foot sinking into the soft grass. I touch the wall of the circular room, my fingers brushing against the vines of wisteria growing up it, the plants swaying against a phantom breeze. The bargainer leads me out of the portal room, and it's only then, only once I see the wood floors, the mounted pictures of faraway places, the mundane lines and details and colors of his Catalina home, that I truly process it. Earth. I'm really back on Earth. Dear God, never have I wanted to kiss the ground so badly. If I could bear hug it, I totally would. God's damn, I miss this place, Dez says, glancing around himself. Next to me, my soulmate looks like a memory come to life. He swaggers into his hallway wearing his leather pants, his shit-kicking boots, and a faded Rolling Stones shirt, his tattooed sleeve on display. I've been so used to him wearing fey attire that seeing him in human clothes in his human home is something out of a dream. I release Dez's hand and begin to make my way through his house. My heart aches as I take in the furniture, the photos, the decorations on display, because each one screams Dez. At least Dez as I first knew him, back when I'd never seen his life in the other world. I head through his living room and out the back door. Late afternoon sun hits my skin, and I close my eyes, soaking it in. I might legit cry. It's not eternal night. It's not endless day. It's just your average sunny afternoon in Southern California. Opening my eyes, I continue on, towards the back of the bargainer's property, my attention drifting for a moment to the place where I was taken. Any fear the sight might have once conjured is gone, though I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe it's because Carnon's dead, or because the thief has stopped kidnapping women, or maybe it's not the situation that's changed, but me. I cross the last of the bargainer's backyard, stepping right up to where the land gives way to a cliff's edge. My skin prickles when I hear the sound of the surf crashing below. I take a deep breath, drinking in the smell of salt water. This is where I belong. My gaze moves to the horizon. There's a short expanse of sea that separates my house from his. On a clear day, you can make out the edges of Malibu, and if you have imagination enough, you can draw in my home among those hills. It's the same sight the bargainer must have stared at all our years apart. The sight fills my heart with old agony and something sweeter, like the past and the present and the future all overlay each other. The bargainer steps up next to me.
It's warded, you know.
I glance at him.
Your house. My house, too. They always have been, but after...
His voice catches.
After you were taken, I doubled down on the wards. I can't promise that you'll be safe here,
he says, reminding me of our earlier conversation.
But you won't be altogether defenseless, either.
I stare at Dez. The setting sun sets his features on fire. My siren stirs within me, awakening now that my magic's refueled. We don't need defending, she whispers. We need defending from. I'm not worried. Dez flashes me a wicked smile.
People like us are not victims,
he'd once told me.
We're someone's nightmare.
His membranous wings appear, unfolding menacingly behind him.
Ready to go home?
I raise my eyebrows. I assumed this was our destination.
Aw, Cherub, you didn't think I'd take you this far only to stop now, did you?
I search his face, my heart expanding and expanding. He looks like something plucked from my most desperate dreams. My own wings manifest behind me, punching through the material of my shirt. Dez tisks at the sight. He places his hand on the clothing, and in an instant, the ripped cloth stitches itself back together. Dez smooths my shirt down. When his eyes meet mine, they dance.
Ready?
He asks, backing away. I never get the chance to answer. Dez backs right off the cliff's edge, his arms open to the world as he falls backwards. My breath catches at the sight. I should know better by now. The bargainer has wings and magic and the uncanny ability to teleport. Falling isn't going to do him in. He twists in midair, his vicious-looking wings fanning out to catch the breeze. He beckons to me.
Coming, baby siren?
God, he looks magnificent and otherworldly, bathed in the dying light of our sun. My own wings spread out. I take a running leap from the cliff, and then I'm diving, gliding, soaring. I laugh as the wind buffets me upwards, catching sight of my Converses in the process. Fucking flying over the Pacific. The two of us cut across the sky, the ocean blurring by beneath us. This moment could last forever. The breeze whistling through my hair, the blue water beneath me, the fading day above me. And Dez and I, two strange birds ghosting above the world. My body is filled to the brim with simple joy. Inevitably, we close in on land. If we had any other destination in mind, perhaps that would be a disappointment. But up ahead, I catch sight of my house, and a new sort of euphoria moves in to replace the old. Home. Sweet, lovely, lonely home. We touch down in my backyard. I'm back. Never want to leave. I really don't. I want to drink my wine, stare out at the ocean, think deep thoughts, sleep beneath my sheets. I want to do all that. But I want to do it with Dez. The bargainer and I head over to my sliding glass door. Dez has only to stare at the handle, and with a snick, the door unlocks itself and slides open. Tentatively, I step inside. Home is a house filled with sandy floors, chipped counters, and now my soulmate. He stands in my house like he resides there, like he's always resided there, and the way he looks around, I have every reason to believe he intends to make this place ours. Ours. Not going to get over that.
Where are all of our things?
He asks. There's that word again. Our. I move through my, our, home, expecting things to be different. It feels like ages since I was last here. In the attic. I couldn't bear to part with all those trinkets Dez and I collected during my junior year of high school, but I also couldn't bear to look at them. The pain of his absence always sharpened when I saw those physical reminders. Dez clicks his tongue.
Cherub, we're going to have to change that.
He lifts his hand and I hear a few distant thumps, then the sound of scraping. Less than a minute later, a weathered box floats into the living room, scattering dust motes as it heads our way. It plops to the floor a few feet in front of me. For several seconds, all is still. Suddenly, the lid pops open, causing me to jolt. And then the procession begins. The prayer flags, the Venetian masks, the painted gourd, and the silks. They float out of the box one by one, lining themselves up on the floor. Once our old memorabilia has been removed from the container, my tasteful decorations are lifted from the walls, pushed off tables, and cleared from shelves. They amble through the air, then stack themselves neatly into the box. After they're all settled inside, the cardboard flaps fold over them, and the box levitates off the floor. It cants drunkenly back and forth as it heads back the way it came. I raise an eyebrow but say nothing. Dez smiles, a calculating spark in his eye. All at once, the objects the two of us collected together, every shot glass and postcard, every hand drawing and note, lift into the air. For several seconds, the items hover in midair. Then, like an explosion, they scatter across the house. Dez finds a place for it all. On walls, on shelves, tucked away in cupboards, dangling from the ceiling. I believe this is a fairy's version of peeing on his territory. And my heart is hurting so damned badly. All of these things are testaments to our friendship, because that's what this has always been. Long before I knew Dez was my mate, I knew he was my friend. And even though I wanted him in a distinctly unfriend-like way, that's all the two of us were for the better part of a year. I'm taking in my new decorations when the king of the night comes up behind me. He kisses the juncture where my jaw meets my neck.
We'll go on more adventures.
Des promises.
Buy more trinkets, experience more new places together, both in this world and in the other.
I turn around. Why did you bring me here? I ask. Out of all the places in all the worlds, he chose to bring me here. Des has the universe in his eyes.
Because I love you, and this is where you're happiest.
That's not true. Happiness isn't a place, it's a person. More specifically, the one across from me. The bargainer leads me over to the couch.
Now, I was thinking that since we finished watching Harry Potter, we needed a new series to binge on together.
I spend the evening wrapped up in the bargainer's arms, the two of us splayed out along my couch. My coffee table is a mess of greasy pizza, popcorn, and raisinettes, all casualties of our movie night. Game of Thrones plays on the TV, and it's clear this is Des's kind of show. The dude is hardcore invested. I trail my fingers over his inked arm. I'm supposed to be paying attention to the show, but I can't get over the joy I feel. Des is reclining here on my couch, holding me against him as he watches a show from my living room. Earlier, he ran his hands over my chipped countertops, and his boots have dragged sand across my living room. Little pieces of himself are now scattered all over the place. And he's here not because he wants me to repay the favors I owe, but because he's mine. I close my eyes and relish this. More than the other world, it's this moment that seems the dream. Everything that's been thrown at me was so much easier to palate in a world where cities floated and night reigned eternal. But here in the normal world, a man like Des doesn't belong, and definitely not with a girl like me. I want to cackle for outmaneuvering fate, because I freaking got him, the bad boy who was always so out of reach. The two of us binge watch a couple more episodes, but somewhere along the way, the atmosphere changes. First, it's a few light kisses. Des brushes against my hairline, and a few more that I press to the base of his palm. Then it's the soft stroke of his fingers petting my skin, and the restless way my body reacts to the touch. But it's not until he clicks the TV off that I even realize the bargainer is half as distracted as I've been.
Truth or dare?
He whispers against my ear. I bite back a smile. Both. Des lifts me off the couch then, turning me in his arms so that I can wrap my legs around his narrow hips. I lock my arms behind his neck, playing with the ends of his hair. He searches my face.
Truth. Tell me, sweet little siren, how many nights did you get yourself off to the thought of me when we were apart?
I should have known Des would ask something dirty. His magic settles beneath my skin, demanding I answer this embarrassing question. I don't know, I say. Not good enough. The bargainer's magic is getting more demanding, twisting itself around my windpipes. Nearly every night. I glare at him as I answer.
And what did you imagine?
His magic is still there, pressing against my throat. What do you think I imagined? I say sarcastically. He just waits. His power does the rest, closing in on me. I already gave you one answer, I say. He's already getting a 2-for-1 deal from this game, and now he's pressing his luck with another question.
It's in my nature to take advantage,
he says, running a finger down my cleavage.
Now you were saying?
I press my lips together, though I know it's pointless. The words spill out of me anyway. I imagined you taking me in just about every position possible. I imagined your weight settling on me, your hips between mine. I imagined your evil boy body fucking mine over and over and over again. I imagined it sweet and nice. I imagined it rough and kinky. I imagined you when I was alone, and when I was with other men. I even called out your name once. I imagined it all, and it still didn't hold a flame against the reality of you. The bargainer watches my mouth as I talk. Finally, he leans in and nips my lower lip. He rolls it between his teeth before releasing it. He smiles in a distinctly masculine way, his wings appearing behind him.
You called out my name when you were with another?
I feel myself flush. Why had I shared that?
Cherub, I think we're going to have to make truth or dare a regular part of our days.
God, no. There are so many things, things like what I just divulged, that are better left unsaid. He walks us down the hall towards the back of the house. What's my dare? I ask.
I think you'll figure it out soon enough.
We enter my bedroom, the lights flicking on.
For 7 years, I yearned to enter this house of yours.
Des admits,
it ate me up, needing to know what sort of life you made for yourself here.
My skin pebbles at his confession.
That first night I returned to you,
he says.
You cannot know what it felt like, lounging on your bed, knowing you slept in it. My mind was a mess.
His mind was a mess? It was my mind that was a mess. The wicked, untouchable bargainer was back from realms unknown, come to collect his debts and break my heart all over again. I was the bumbling schoolgirl, and he the aloof, mysterious one.
I've wanted to sleep with you here,
he continues.
Your body tucked against mine. Gods, how badly I wanted to insert myself into this life of yours.
The bargainer's magic tugs at my clothes. One moment they're there, and in the next they're a puddle on the floor. Now I understand. This is the dare. Sex wrapped up as a game. He lays me over my sheets but doesn't join me. Instead, he stands at the foot of the bed, feasting on my naked form. After several seconds, the bargainer flashes me one of his scary-as-shit grins. It's trouble in a look. He grabs my ankles and spreads my legs wide, indecently displaying me.
I've had my own fantasies of you, taking you right here in your bed.
Sliding his hands under my thighs, he drags me to the edge of the mattress. I feel the cool bite of his bronze warbands against my leg.
Tonight I'm staking my claim to this bed and everything else here.
He presses a kiss to my inner thigh, his lips then dragging across my skin.
Starting with you.
Chapter 21. Des trails kisses along my inner thigh, moving inward until... I fist my sheets and bite back a cry, my skin immediately flaring to life as he nips one of my outer lips, then the other. I feel him smile against me, and that's almost worse. I have no defense against devilish Des. He runs his tongue up my slit, and Jesus Christ and all the saints, this is dirty. The bargainer nips my clit, and now I do cry out. So very... very dirty.
Gods, I could eat this pussy for breakfast, lunch, and dinner,
he says, right before he sucks on my clit. I gasp out something unintelligible. If I wasn't so turned on, I'd be embarrassed. Behind me, my wings begin to form, which is really unfortunate considering they're going to be squashed beneath me. Before I have a chance to force them back, Des's hand slides up my spine, his palm warm pressure against my skin. With a burst of his magic, my wings are gone, neatly taking care of that problem. He keeps sucking on my clit, and I'm beginning to buck against him, fighting to get away. Too much sensation, too much. He says, his breath fanning against me.
You're going to need to stay in place, Cherub.
Desmond's magic rolls against me, and you are a terrible person, I gasp out, the words broken. I'm quickly losing the last of my composure.
I am,
he agrees. He licks and sucks and rolls my clit between his teeth, the bastard only moving away when I'm close to coming. I'm pinned in place by his hands and his magic, and no amount of arching or twisting can get me out of his line of fire. So I'm left to ride his cruel ministrations. And they're really, really cruel. I'm caught in an endless cycle of build-up and letdown, my body winding tighter and tighter. "Damn you, let me come," I say, glamour filling my voice. But the order I give isn't phrased correctly, and rather than forcing the bargainer's hand, I've allowed him to slip through mine. Des pulls away, releasing my legs as he sits back on his haunches. He runs his tongue over his lower lip, looking like the seven deadly sins wrapped into one, and oh my God, why isn't he finishing this?
"That's not how this works, love,"
he says, looking at me like a man bewitched. After a moment, Des leans back in, but just when I think he's going to take up where he left off, he lifts me from the bed. Instinctively, I wrap my arms and legs around him, feeling his cock straining against his pants.
"Sweet thing, the night's just beginning."
With that, he takes my lips in a carnal kiss. I taste myself on his tongue, and that makes my core ache all over again. I lock my ankles together behind him, my fingers mussing his hair. My body is lit on fire, my flesh raw from the way Des worked me. Des carries me across the room until my back thuds against the wall. He breaks off the kiss, leaning his forehead against mine as he breathes heavily.
"I don't intend for this to be some easy claiming."
Claiming. He keeps using that word, and not for the first time. I sense his face side trying to consume all that it can. As he holds me, his clothes slide from his skin, pooling beneath us. His hips pull away from mine, and keeping me flush against the wall, he thrusts into me. I gasp at the sensation, my core clutching his cock like a vice. Yes! I bask in the exquisite pressure and fullness, and his overwhelming body straining against mine. I slide my palms over his wide shoulders, feeling the steel bands of muscle beneath. Des's presence is intimidating enough when he enters a room, but now, when he's driving into me, it's all-encompassing. His hands slide to the backs of my thighs, angling my pelvis so that each stroke of his cock slides deeper than before. He leans his forehead against mine as he hammers me against the wall.
"This is every wish, cherub, every dream of mine actualized. I would give up all my secrets, I'd give up my very throne itself, if it meant being with you."
I want to say something eloquent, but all that comes out of my mouth is a breathy moan. So smooth.
"And I like it when my mate moans in my arms,"
Des says.
Maybe I should make you moan again."
The first tendrils of the bargainer's magic lick against my skin. "Don't," I say, glamour filling my voice. Des grins at me, looking thrilled at my response. Our bodies make slick sounds as he pounds in and out of me, and all too soon sensation is building up until I'm coiled tight. Release is right there. All I have to do is let go. Des slides out of me and I nearly cry out. A woman could be driven mad by this. The bargainer drops to his knees, hooking my legs over his shoulders. His mouth is inches from my core, but his head is tilted up to take me in. I thought that maybe this was part of his game, to withhold my orgasm as long as possible. But one look in his eyes banishes that thought completely. He's gazing up at me like I'm something akin to his religion, something he might pray to. And right now I feel like a dark queen, my throne made of this man's flesh.
"Marry me,"
he says. Time slows and my breathing stops. Marry me. A second ago I was mad with lust, and now...
"It's not enough to be mated to you,"
he says.
"I want it all, if only you'll have me."
My hands begin to tremble where they grip him. I can barely hear my thoughts over the pounding of my heart.
"Marry me and I will cherish you forever, cherub,"
Marry me. We're already bound by unbreakable forces. The supernatural world sees us as soulmates, as does the other world. Marriage is for humans. Suddenly I feel all of 16 again, and Dez is asking me to prom. Prom, marriage, all of it is for that part of me that has always been a desperate outsider, a loner. That painful part of me that wants to be normal. This is Dez giving me normal.
God damn it,
Dez whispers.
Please say something, Callie.
I shake my head, beginning to smile. Only Dez misinterprets my action. His eyes are dying, dying. I cup his cheeks just as I did earlier. Yes, I say, my voice hoarse with emotion. I begin to nod, and once I start, I can't seem to stop. I smile, and it feels like that smile is touching every inch of my face, every inch of this room. A happy laugh slips out. I'm going to marry Dez. Life flushes through his face, brightening his features, and I'm sure the world has no use for suns with a smile as bright as his. It spreads across his whole face, his eyes crinkling from the action.
You're going to marry me?
I nod again, and I'm smiling so hard my face is beginning to hurt.
You're going to marry me?
He says again, processing it.
You're going to be my wife.
He lets out his own disbelieving laugh. All at once he stands, and my legs slip off his shoulders. He catches me halfway down his torso, and then he spins us, pressing me close. Right now it feels like the two of us are in our own little universe. He's my moon, my sun, my stars, my sky, and all that space in between them. Dez lays me down on the bed, moving up my body languidly. He takes my mouth, kissing it like he's breathing life into me. My hands rake up his back, brushing against his wings. His wings? I didn't notice them before, but they must have emerged when I said yes. Mine are still locked away from his earlier magic. This time when Dez enters me, it's not nearly as carnal as it was minutes before. His wings splay out, shrouding the two of us as he fills me. He pulls out, the action and agony.
Years I have waited for this, he says. Anticipated it. My wife.
He thrusts back into me. Again and again he moves out and in like the tide, each deep rolling stroke a brand, as though he wants to make it known to everyone and everything that we are real, we are together, we are one. This time when Dez relentlessly pushes me towards my orgasm, there's nothing there to stop it. Dez, I breathe, and then I'm moaning, arching, coming. I climax in his arms, staring into those light eyes of his as I feel myself come apart. The bargainer pounds into me, stretching out my orgasm until he pauses, his breathing stilling for an instant. Then I can feel him thickening. He groans against me.
Callie,
he bites out. That's all he manages to say before he gives himself over to sensation, pistoning in and out of me as he rides out his own orgasm. Eventually, his stroke's gentle. Even once he's finished orgasming, he stays in me, brushing my hair back as he stares down at me.
Cherub, there's something I'm forgetting.
He snaps his fingers, and from the ether, a ring appears between his thumb and forefinger.
I believe this is yours.
The bargainer's wings are still out, and beyond them, the once bright room is now dark with the Night King's magic. Dez slips off of me so that he can take my hand. Pressing a kiss to my ring finger, he begins to slide the piece of jewelry on. The stone set into the band glows faintly. It's no diamond. I'm not one to care about rings, but this one has me mesmerized.
What is it? I ask, staring at the glowing stone. I made a deal with the stars.
A deal? Of course he did. I smile a little.
It's captured starlight,
he explains, squeezing my hand.
I figured the Queen of the Night should carry a piece of her kingdom with her.
Going to cry all over again. You already had the ring picked out. It's such a ridiculous statement. Obviously, he picked out the ring some time ago. It's not like he interrupted sex to make a deal with the stars on the spot. Des grins, and the sight of it just slays me.
Cherub, it would frighten you how long I've carried that ring around.
Yeah, I'm sure frightened is not the word I'd use. I'm going to marry you. I get a little zing of excitement just saying the words.
I'm going to marry the shit out of you.
He agrees. As I stare at him, I think about that old vow, the one that got me into trouble. From flame to ashes, dawn to dusk, for the rest of our lives. Be mine always, Desmond Flynn. He kisses my lips.
Until darkness dies.
Chapter 22. The next morning when I wake, I open my eyes and see a shock of white blonde hair. Des's head rests just above my breast, his features softened by sleep. His arms are wrapped around my waist, one of his legs thrown heavily over mine. I can't stop the grin that spreads across my face. Des is here with me, seducing me in my home. My left hand is buried in his hair, and now I remove it to stare at my ring for the 5,000th time. Millions of people go through this, falling in love, getting married, yada, yada, yada. And yet I can't possibly imagine anyone else being as happy as I am in this moment, as in love as I am right now. My hand drops back to Des's white hair, and I pretend for a moment that the two of us have simple lives, that I'm just a human and he is just my fiancé, that he has no realm to rule and that I don't have wings and scales and a fey stalker that wants my head, that we aren't embroiled in an otherworld battle that might destroy everything that fairies hold dear. I pretend for a few minutes that we're just two long-lost lovers reunited at last, that later today we'll hold hands and stroll to the coffee shop down the street. I hear Des's deep rumble. His face rubs against me, his arms tightening around my waist. He tilts his head up, those luminous eyes finding mine. A slow, easy smile stretches across his face. There's nothing but love in his expression, though even that look on Des is a bit devious. He brushes a kiss against my sternum.
You know, Callie, I've never been partial to daylight, but I definitely think I could get used to this.
His hand slips down and begins to pet my thigh.
Tell me, how do you feel about sleeping in?
The gleam in his eyes is hint enough. We'll be sleeping in sans the sleeping part. I think that sounds amazing. The two of us don't slide out of bed until hours later, caught up in each other. I'm pretty sure heaven consists of endless days like this one. Only reluctantly do I drag myself out of bed, and only then because Des promised to make us breakfast. I watch him now, my shirtless Des moving about my kitchen like this is his house and not mine. I'm pretty sure he feels the place is now his. I try not to smile as he pulls ingredients out of thin air. Eggs dance in midair and bell peppers chop themselves. All the while, Des whistles away, his hair tied back. My eyes move lower, taking in his muscled body and his sleeve of tattoos. The bargainer is a thing of beauty, a deadly, wily thing, but a beautiful one nonetheless. It's as I'm relishing the sight of him that I notice the claw marks scouring his back. I hiss in a breath. Apparently unbeknownst to me, my claws came out to play earlier. Des turns around, instantly alarmed.
What is it?
I nod to his back. I hurt you. He casts a glance over his shoulder. I know he can't see the markings, but he must recall them because he smirks.
If you're feeling truly terrible about it, Callie, I'm sure we could work out a way for you to repay.
Des! That's what I get for being thoughtful. He laughs, then turns back to my stove where he's cooking up an omelet. I realize then that he could have simply healed himself. Much like Malachi with Temper's hickey, he hadn't. Never going to understand fairies. The bargainer flicks his spatula-wielding hand and a mug of coffee prepares itself. Once it's finished, it floats across the kitchen to where I sit.
For you, my love,
he says, not bothering to turn around. I catch the mug out of the air. You're the best, I say, taking a grateful sip.
Was there ever any doubt?
He glances over his shoulder and winks at me. It's only a short while later that Dez finishes the omelets, my dish floating over to me, his trailing after. They clatter down on the table, forks and napkins hustling through the air after them. Dez takes a seat across from me, dragging his chair back, and holy Jesus, a shirtless Dez is sitting at my table. My lady parts aren't handling the situation well. He raises his eyebrows at me and looks pointedly at the meal. The bargainer leans back in his chair.
Stop it.
Stop what?
Giving me your fuck-me eyes. I'm trying to be a gentleman and not screw you right here on your kitchen table.
I set my coffee aside. The table can take a beating. This may legitimately be heaven. Can we do this always? I ask. I'm sitting cross-legged on the table, my clothing skewed. Scattered across the floor are the remnants of breakfast, the omelets splattered across the ground, the dishes shattered to pieces. Why hadn't Dez and I come back to Earth sooner? It's obvious this is where we get our freak on. Honeymoon, my house, then Dez's house, then somewhere in the clouds between the two. Dez steps up to me, his pants back in place. He brushes a kiss against my lips, then extends a hand. The pieces of my broken mug vibrate off the floor, then fit themselves back together. The splattered coffee funnels itself into the air and then back in the mug. The bargainer hands it to me.
Need you even ask such a question? I'll insist we do this.
I take the cup of coffee from him. Thanks. He sits down next to me on the kitchen table, a mug of his own floating into his hand. Breakfast begins to fix itself back up, the omelets reforming, the plates piecing themselves together. They clatter onto the table.
What shall we do today?
Dez sounds downright devious. I thought we'd already figured that one out.
Demanding little siren. I'm nothing but your little sex doll, aren't I?
I shake my head, blowing on my coffee. Somehow Dez managed to make it steaming hot. You have me all figured out. He flashes me a mischievous smile.
I was thinking we might do a little something between shags.
He snaps his fingers.
Ah, I know.
I glance over at him. He looks a little too conniving for my taste. A minute later, a box floats out of my guest room. At first, I think we're doing Redecorating Callie's Home Part 2, but then I recognize the box heading our way. I nearly drop my mug. What are you doing, Dez? This is not a part of my past that I want to explore with him right now, or ever. The box drops onto the ground in front of us.
What does it look like I'm doing? Digging up all your dirty little secrets. Oh, look, this box isn't dusty like ours was. Someone revisits these things frequently.
I'm clenching my mug now. The cardboard flaps of the box pop open. I lean forward and slam a hand down on them, closing the box back up. Let's not.
Come now, love. I want to see Callie's naughty chest.
I almost fight him on it. Even though he's seen my worst, this is not a collection I'm proud of. But then this is what our relationship is built on. We share our dirty little secrets with one another, things that no one else might accept us for. So eventually I lift my hand.
Fine.
The flaps pop open once more. My heart's pounding a little faster and my fingers are a little twitchy. No one else has seen what's in this container. The first thing that levitates out is a gold necklace. A man's gold necklace. It pools in Dez's waiting hand.
What's the story behind this?
He asks. If I close my eyes, I can still see the man clearly. Wiry, lean frame, mean, squinty eyes. Not all my targets look like bad people, but this one did. Keith Sampson. His ex wanted sole custody of their children, so she had me dig up dirt on him. Among the long list of very fucked up shit he did in his life, he beat his wife, sold drugs to minors, and got his daughter hooked on heroin so that the cow could lose some fucking weight. Just remembering Keith has my sirens stirring with agitation.
What did you do to him?
Daz asks, curious. Grovel, cry, demean himself. I made him turn himself in. Des says, staring at the necklace. I get the distinct impression he's listening to the shadows right now. That theory only solidifies when he smirks, then sets the piece of jewelry aside. The next thing that comes out is a hand-drawn map. Arnold Mattis, I say. His girlfriend, Christina Ruiz, had hired me to deal with Arnold. Several years ago, Arnold beat, raped, then repeatedly stabbed his girlfriend after she tried to leave him. The crime scene photos still haunt me. He got off with rape and assault charges, was sentenced to 10 to 30 years, but was put on parole early. When I found Arnold, he had that map on him, Christina's address written out on it. Along with the map, he had bleach, rope, duct tape, and a hammer stowed away in the trunk of his car.
What happened to him?
I happened. Arnold and I played a game called an eye for an eye. He didn't like it much. I did. Next to come out of the box is an embroidered iron-on patch of a flaming skull. It lands in Dez's palm, a bit of black leather still clinging to it. Racist biker. The bargainer waits for more explanation. I shrug. I don't know, it was a bad day and he pissed me off. That guy was such an asshole, and I had absolute power over him, despite his enormous size and his white-hot temper. Des pulls out a tooth. He holds the incisor up.
Cherub, this looks more like my work than yours.
Now that he mentions it, it does. I take the tooth from him, rolling it between my fingers. I close my eyes for a moment, hearing an echo of this man's screams. Human trafficker. I can still see his crisp white shirt and the smoke that curled from his cigarette. He looked at me like I was livestock. The memory still gives me chills. But I'm also proudest of that particular case. I ended up saving over 100 men, women, and children. I left him alone in a room with his victims and their families.
Did he die?
I shake my head. He begged for it. But no. I never said I was a good person, but I came pretty close to the devil with this one. The tooth is proof enough of that. I brought all of these men close to death, I say, looking down at the tooth. For several seconds, the bargainer doesn't say anything. Finally,
how close?
Close enough to feel that ancient power move through me, the same power that compelled my ancestors to kill. I clear my throat. Close enough to know I should feel ashamed. Close enough to really enjoy it. Des huffs out a laugh.
But you're not.
It isn't a question. No. Not at all. The box is full of mementos of the cruelest, most sinister people in the world. People who hurt children, who abused loved ones, who tried to get away with murder. Not even prison or death can atone for the atrocities they've committed. I might be the closest they ever come to a true reckoning on Earth. Des shakes his head.
God damn it, but we're similar. Did I make you this way?
You didn't do anything. Except maybe give me a template on how to work with criminals. I was this way before you met me. At the reminder, the edges of the room darken. It's actually pretty heartening seeing Des get upset for me even after all this time. He toes the box.
Think I should pay these guys a visit?
I doubt they'd survive it. The bargainer doesn't have the same issue with death that I do. Still, I smile at the thought of the King of Night in his leather pants and vintage t-shirts dropping in on these men so that he can wreak a little havoc, and all because they pissed his mate off at one point in time. I thread my fingers through his. Marriage with you is going to be fun. Chapter 23
Enchantress.
I suck in a breath at the voice. It comes from everywhere all at once.
Enjoying your time on Earth?
I swivel in a circle, my feet digging into sand.
Sand?
That's when my surroundings come into focus. There's a beach and the ocean and a cliff, a very familiar cliff. This is the beach beneath my house. I've been here 1,000 times, usually alone. If my house is my sanctuary, this strip of land is my temple, and right now it's being defiled.
Nice view,
the thief says, his breath against my ear. My skin flares to life as fear floods through me. I spin to face him. The thief is clad in dark clothes, human clothes. I thought I'd seen him at his scariest before, but the thief masquerading as a human might be the most frightening version of him. How did you know where I was? I ask.
Calypso.
He runs a hand through his jet black hair.
I know everything.
No supernatural is that omnipotent. The thief of souls levels his pitiless gaze on me. For a moment, we simply look at one another. Then his eyes dip lower.
That trick you do with your skin,
he says.
I quite like it.
He leans in close, his mouth brushing my ear.
I imagine being inside you is like fucking a star.
The thief straightens, running a hand down his shirt and smoothing out the imaginary wrinkles.
Speaking of stars.
Before I realize what he's doing, he captures my left hand. He angles it so that he can get a good look at my ring.
The King of Night didn't go cheap when he popped the question. And you said yes.
What did you think I'd say?
No? That I was saving myself for you?
He chuckles at that.
What a mortal thought. I rather enjoy our talks, Enchantress. No, I want you to enjoy your mate's company for as long as you possibly can. You see, life is just one long story. I don't really care how yours begins, only how it ends.
That sends a foreboding chill down my spine. The thief sits down in the sand then, and it's so disarming. You expect evil to be obvious. You never expect it to act like anyone else might. He pats the ground next to him.
Join me.
I stare down at him. I don't intend to stay here.
Would you rather go back into your house? Care to see if your mate's there?
He says.
I wonder what that would be like, me cornering the two of you in your own home. Maybe we could all kiss and make up for our trespasses.
That visual physically hurts.
Or I could just hold you down and deflower your virgin cunt while the Night King is forced to watch.
This conversation is over. I walk away from him. I haven't taken 5 steps when the earth violently rolls, throwing me onto my back. Beneath me, the sand shifts, then resettles. I blink up at the sky, a couple of seagulls crying out as they fly overhead.
You are in my realm, Enchantress. Here we play by my rules,
the thief says. He sits right next to me, and I have no idea whether he moved to my side or whether the earth deposited me at his. My fingers dig into the sand. If I'm in his realm, a realm I only visit when I fall asleep, then I push myself up, studying his profile. So you control small death and everything that happens here? Like shaking the ground and throwing me onto the sand? The thief's eyes brighten.
The PI finally put it together. How very keen of you.
This asshole. I huff out a laugh. You know what your problem is? I say, rotating to face him once more. You think you're some special brand of evil, but you aren't. I've met plenty of men like you before. Men that use and break and destroy. He gives me a sly smile, and I've never seen features so cold. It scares me. Truly, it does. I've caught the attention of an abominable thing, and I know the moment he really, truly gets his hands on me, not in some dream, but in the real waking world, he's going to ravage me.
I assure you, Enchantress, he says, you've never met a man like me.
I wake in Dez's arms, my body covered in a cold sweat. I'm panting, my chest rising and falling. A moment ago, the thief and I were sitting out on the beach beyond my backyard, and I can't shake the nonsensical belief that he's still out there, staring up at my house, debating whether or not he should break down the door and fuck with me and Dez. I clasp onto the bargainer's forearm as he cradles my head and neck. I close my eyes and will my heart rate to slow. When I open my eyes, the bargainer is smoothing my hair away from my face.
We used to do this together,
he says softly.
Back in your dorm room, you used to get nightmares and I'd wake you from them.
Because even when we weren't a we, Dez was still saving me over and over again.
Do you remember?
He asks quietly. I nod against him.
And now the nightmares are back, and this time I can't save you from them.
I draw in a shaky breath and press a hand to my clammy forehead. He can control dreams. The thief. He called the place his kingdom. Dez frowns, his forehead wrinkling as his gaze searches my face. I think he's about to tell me something, but the moment passes and his words never come. Out my bedroom windows, I can hear the surf crashing against the shore. It's one more visceral reminder of my dream. I shudder out of breath. I don't know why he's targeting me. I'm embarrassed by how weak I sound.
Listen to me,
Dez says, gripping me tightly.
The thief of souls may be powerful, but you are no one's victim. Do you understand?
I swallow and nod. Dez searches my face, the moonlight casting his face in shades of blue.
Think you'll be able to fall back to sleep?
He asks. And end up in another one of the thief's sick dreams? I shake my head. The bargainer lets out a breath.
Then let's grab breakfast.
I glance at the clock on my nightstand. It's 3:02 a.m. Where are we going to get breakfast this early? Dez just grins. I fucking love you, you know that, right? I ask, pulling apart a chocolate croissant. Around us, sunlight filters into Douglas Cafe. It may be the middle of the night in Malibu, but it's nearly lunchtime on the Isle of Man. The place is abuzz with people chatting over coffee and pastries, life moving along the same way it did when we used to come here a decade ago.
It's always nice to be reminded.
Dez kicks his booted feet up on the table, leaning back to sip his espresso. The years might pass, but watching the big bad bargainer drink coffee from a tiny cup will never get old. I take a sip from my coffee, watching a group of teenage witches gossip as they wait in line to order.
Do you ever wish you had that?
Dez asks, following my gaze. Had what? The bargainer smirks.
Don't be coy, cherub. You know what I'm talking about.
Girlfriends. A posse. A group of women that have your back and you have theirs. People who you'd shop with, borrow shit from, tell all your secrets to. There have been moments where I'd wanted all of that so desperately it hurt. I take a deep breath, setting my mug down. Sometimes, when I don't think about what it would have cost me. If I hadn't been so desperately lonely, I wouldn't have bartered for Dez's company. And if I hadn't bartered for that,
I would have come for you, love.
He kicks his feet off the table.
I searched 100 years for you. I would have found you, one way or another.
That confession warms me to the tips of my toes. I take a final drink of my coffee, then push it away. I glance back at the girls who've now moved off to the side as they wait for their order. I do have a version of that. I say softly. Temper filled the gaping hole Des left in me, and I was there to fill her own holes. God, that thought sounded so much dirtier than I intended. Not that Temper would mind the description.
Ah, Temper, the woman I am forever indebted to. You know, I happen to know a bit about her situation.
My eyes widen. I know enough about her fucked up background, but I don't know everything. Des takes another sip of his drink.
Maybe I'll tell you sometime. For a price, of course.
Of course. The bargainer downs his espresso and stands.
We should get moving. We've got an appointment to make.
I brush off the cobwebs after we step off the ley line and into a condemned church. Ley line portals occur in the eeriest places. Where are we? I ask as Des leads me outside. Above us, the sky is overcast, and across the street, one building butts up against the next.
London,
Des says, taking my hand. For a moment, I don't think that's unusual. I'm used to showing up in random cities with Des. It's what we always used to do together. But now that Gallagher and the thief are loose, and the other world is in the midst of a war, London feels random. Why are we here?
You'll see.
With that cryptic remark, we head down the street. The two of us walk for several blocks, the bargainer all but dragging my ass towards this mystery destination. Where are we going? I ask again.
I have an acquaintance who might be able to help us.
Help us with what? Unless you're taking me to the spa, I'm really not thrilled about this. I mean, I will risk another drop-in with Gallagher if it means getting some spa treatment, but that's about it. The bargainer glances at me as we cross the street, his expression sly.
I thought breakfast bought me a little amnesty.
I grumble at that because he has a point. You ply me with pastries and coffee, and I'll overlook a lot of crap. We finally stop in front of a sleek building. This is where you wanted to take me? I ask, sizing it up. It looks like a place where fun goes to die. It's all smooth edges and modern fittings, and frankly, it looks wrong sitting right here in this old city. I'm pretty sure I'm going to hate this.
Cherub, you don't even know what this is.
I snort. Unless this place contains a themed bar, a year's worth of macaroons, or fucking Santa Claus, it's going to disappoint. All of which are also things I will risk a drop-in with Gallagher for.
So dramatic. Maybe if you play nice, I'll take you to a themed bar after this. I might even let you take body shots off of me.
I thin my eyes at Des. That's blackmail right there. Completely effective blackmail, but blackmail nonetheless.
Your deduction skills are off the charts.
I give my mate a light shove, grinning a little. You don't have to get all mouthy on me, and I'm totally holding you to those body shots. Tequila ones. I want to lick salt off his grossly sexy abs and have him hand-feed me limes. Why, yes, I am a freak. Reluctantly, I enter the building with him. It's not until we reach the 16th floor and I see the metal placard fitted across the way that I realize what exactly the surprise appointment is. You're taking me to visit a seer? Simply saying the name sends a wave of adrenaline through my system. No wonder the bargainer was being all cloak and dagger about our destination. I never would have agreed to come here if I'd known.
Don't you think it's about time we had someone look into your future, considering all that's going on?
Des says. No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Because reasons, good ones, ones I don't want to talk about. I'm still staring at the sign. Belby and Sons, LLC. Seer. Forewarned is forearmed. I shiver a bit. My stepfather was a seer. He worked in a place just like this one, dealing out fortunes to the richest and most powerful people, people who were often on the wrong side of the law. That was how I first found the bargainer. A client had given my stepfather Dez's card, and he kept it close at hand, ready to call on the Night King if he found himself in a tight situation. As fate would have it, I was that tight situation, and the bargainer was my saving grace.